Behind every planner is a person, and behind every person is a story. Hi, I'm Jessica McWilliams, the host of Planner Lifestyle Podcast. Thanks for joining me today as we continue the Enneagram Plus Planner mashup series, today featuring the Type 6. I have Alicia and Amanda with me today. Alicia tends to overthink and says that fear itself drives her. She's not just a quaking pile of nerves in the corner. She shows her courageousness and tells us the story of how she overcame the fear of flying to go to a planner meetup. For Amanda, planning is much more than just her calendar. It's also a way to connect with her safe person, her mom. Listen as she describes how she overcame abuse as a child and now really sees herself as a defender of those in need. Before we get into that conversation, let's hear a word from Chris. Today's the sixth episode, and it wouldn't be the Enneagram Plus Planner mashup without Chris, our resident Enneagram enthusiast.
Ta-da-da!
Ta-da-da! Welcome back to the show. Please let us know what is the deal with sixes. No, just kidding. That sounds so confronting.
What is the deal?
So tell us all about their nickname, their characteristics, their motivations and fears, their health and shadowy, unhealthy side, their triad, maybe what it looked like for childhood for them, or maybe some tidbit about the journey that they might be on right now.
Enneagram 6, well, they are called the Loyalist. And another name that I heard recently that I really loved was the Guardian. So they are in the head and thinking triad along with fives and sevens. Sixes are committed, they're practical, they're extremely loyal. They are worst case scenario thinkers, and they are motivated by fear and insecurity. So actually, over 50% of the world's population are considered to be sixes. It's the most common number. Now, healthy sixes are very productive. They're logical thinkers who almost always organize their thoughts and actions around what is best for the group. They are really good at thinking about everyone, including everyone. Again, they're really loyal. They're really honest, super reliable. They have a very clear eye. They're just a really good judge of character. Really good listeners, really good followers, sharp-minded. They, like the five, can see the big picture. They're not a fan of too much competition or too much exposure. They kind of like a little of their privacy too. Now, sixes in unhealth, they have just a ton of anxiety, a ton of fear, and they question everything. They see the world as dangerous, kind of like a disaster is just looming around the corner. People aren't to be trusted. People have hidden agendas. Sixes often plan for catastrophes, and it's a way for them to maintain a sense of security in an unpredictable world. They are very prepared. Now, as kids, they learned to worry very early on. And so wherever they went as kids and wherever they go now as adults, they learn who's in charge and they keep their eyes on that person. Sixes are the most faithful and dependable of all the numbers. They safeguard our values. They're kind of like the glue that just sort of holds everything together. Now, interesting thing about sixes, there's two types of sixes. One is called a phobic six. They're very loyal. They give full attention to authority, very obedient, because they believe that their security lies in the authority of either a business, an organization, a church, or the authority, the person in charge. They are very loyal to that person. Now, the counterphobic seeks security by attacking the threat to them. And sometimes they can be a little anti-authority. But more often than that, what they're doing is they're conquering their source of fear. So doing that very scary thing to kind of have victory over it. So if they're afraid to speak in public, they're going to make themselves speak in public. If they're afraid to go kayaking down the rapids, they're going to do that so they can get over it and feel like they have some control over their fear because they recognize that they're very fearful.
I hadn't heard the counter. Say it again, Chris. The counter.
Yeah, so there's the phobic six, who's very loyal, and the counterphobic are seeking security by attacking the threat, whatever they feel like is the threatening thing to them. They want to kind of overcome that, and they will kind of hit it head on versus avoiding.
That's a great clarification, because I think often sixes are stereotyped as sort of like these worrywarts who are just, I don't know, kind of more hesitant, or, you know, because they're always thinking through all of the contingencies.
Yes. And boy, do we need sixes. We need sixes because they think of everything and they plan for everything and they're thinking of the group and they're thinking for the betterment of the whole. They're not just thinking about themselves. And, you know, they recognize that life is unpredictable, and that is true. And so they find very creative ways to plan for that and to increase their security. And they're really awesome. I mean, they are very good. They're just really someone that you want on your team and that you want in your corner. They're great listeners, and they follow instructions too. They're just people that are just, they're really great. They're really great people.
Up next, I bring you Alicia and Amanda, but first, a word from my sponsor. Welcome to Planner Lifestyle to my two guests today, my fabulous sixes for the Enneagram Planner mashup. I actually had to laugh because my husband pointed out to me that our recording time was 6 p.m., so it's very meant to be that they are with me today. I have Alicia and Amanda, and they are going to introduce themselves and tell a little bit about where we can find them and what's their jam, what their life is about. So Alicia, will you go first, please?
Yes. Hi, I am Alicia. I'm known on Instagram as @AliciaMichelleXO. That's my middle name. Michelle is my middle name. I am a front office worker for one of the large children hospitals down here in Houston. I've been at that position for about 13 years now. And I also, about a year ago, opened up a sticker shop through Etsy. So I'm now a sticker shop owner also, which has kind of taken over my life. And I am 32 years old and the mom of a 11-year-old little boy who is rocking my world right now during quarantine. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
Rocking in like awesome, let's rock, or like rocking my ship, like what, I'm getting seasick. Which way?
Yeah, no, definitely seasick, ready to jump ship and and swim to the nearest shore. He's definitely getting a little cabin feverish, but we're making it. School's gonna start next week, so hopefully he gets a little, you know, focused on something else other than wanting mom to watch Space Jam 20 times.
Oh, what a vintage. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Amanda, will you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. My name is Amanda, and my Instagram is @myplanobsession or @myplanobsession. And I have actually been at my job as well for 13 years now. I'm a dental office manager. I actually started out as a dental assistant at this practice right out of school. And when our office manager retired about 4 years ago, the opportunity came to move into that position. I am married for 10 years now, and I have a 17-year-old stepdaughter. And I am almost 36. Gosh, I can't even believe that.
Young at heart, right? Like, wait, is that my number? I don't know. They say, the science shows that people really hang on to their identity at 34. Like, you could be 92, and it still kind of feels the way in the back of your mind, like, I'm 34. That's strange.
And I really had to think about it, because I think my birthday is in 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. And are you one that always thinks ahead, too? Like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes I get to my actual birthday and be like, I've been telling people I'm almost this for a long time. Now I'm actually here. Like, I feel like I should be a year older anyway. Yeah.
No, I feel like I'm telling people I'm younger than what I am. Oh,
well, there you go. You do you. I mean, no judgment here. You can tell whatever you want.
No, but I really am almost 36.
Yeah. Okay. You know what's interesting that about both of your occupations is that you're in an administrative role in both health type of capacity, dental and medical. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's start, Alicia, let's go back to you. How long have you been in the planner community? You mentioned your shop opened a year ago, but before all of that, like, you could maybe mention what led up to that or when you found this arena, if you will, and how that went.
I found my first planner in 2015. One of the doctors I was working with, she had purchased an Erin Condren planner, and I previously had a planner, but it wasn't decorative. It was just a planner from Walmart, because I've always been someone that needed to keep my plans written in paper in front of me. So when I saw her Erin Condren and how beautiful it was, I purchased one myself, and I've been decorative planning since then. So 2015 is when I started. And then I started using Happy Planner when they came out with their planners. And then in 2018, I made their Happy Planner Squad, which is what kind of threw me into the idea of making stickers. And now here we are, 2020. So 5 years I've been using a planner.
Okay. How about you, Amanda? What drew you to the planner community, or when did your planning start or shift?
So I've always liked having a planner. Like in school, that was really exciting when we started and we would get the planner. But that kind of went away, obviously, in the digital age. But about 2014, about this time, my mom, when I went to visit her in Orlando, she started talking about her planner, and she had to get these stickers for her planner. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so when she showed me, it was just like this, like, oh, you know, light moment. And I was like, ooh, I like this. So once I Googled on Instagram planner or hashtag planners, and it was just like, I was sucked in from there. I made my planner Instagram and just kind of dove head in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always laugh when we say, like, we join the community. Like, is there an office of registration? Like, are there dues? Like, what's happening? But it's sort of like that moment. If you're just listening and maybe are on, you know, maybe you're drawn here because of you love Enneagram, but the planner whole thing is new for you. It's sort of like any hobbyist, enthusiast, lifestyle niche. It's right. It's sort of like, when did you join, like, when did it all of a sudden become front of mind? Because in the past, you know, we had planners to know when our pediatrician's office appointment was, to know when our dental appointment was, right? Or maybe someone's anniversary, maybe a grocery list, you know, if we were getting fancy. And now that was never really front of mind. Like, how can I spend more time with my planner? Like, that wasn't right. A concern of anyone's, but eventually it was, and it shifts. And it was like, all of a sudden, you see other people who have it front of mind as well, and it becomes a community.
Can I ask, Amanda, did you jump straight into the planner community? I know for me, I completely stalked the community before I jumped in. I was so hesitant and scared and second guessing myself.
I definitely did stalk it a little before I started, like, posting on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I still don't post as much as I want to, because I always just don't think my stuff is good enough. I don't know if you right. feel that way as a six.
Yeah, absolutely.
I started off with personal rings, Filofax. I think I had quite a few different ones. And then from there, I went to Erin Condren and then the Happy Planner. And now I'm in a Life Planner Action.
Inserts?
No, it's actually Coil.
Oh, I have fell off yeah. that. I am not up to date on that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's probably been a long time. Has she been selling, like, actual planners for a long time? Because for all I know, she just does inserts. But
no, I feel like it's pretty new, especially that she's doing, like, the coil bound.
Yeah.
But I just got it, and it's undated, and I started it in August, and I really like it.
Oh, I love me an undated. Releases all the guilts because I can use it whenever I want.
Oh, and I also was on the Hobo Nietzsche craze too.
Oh, the hobo train or yeah. Okay. So you dabble. You're a dabbler, would you say?
Yes.
Maybe a dabbler. Alicia, what planner are you using right now?
The Happy Planner. I love that they're so customizable. I love that I can just add and take away whatever I know a lot of planners are, but I just love their system and it works for me. And so I've trying other things. I've purchased, I know I've purchased, like, inserts from Cloth and Paper, with the A5 planner that I bought. I've tried another Erin Condren, one of their their leather bound ones. I've tried different things, but I always end up back with a Happy Planner just because their system works so well for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have some Happy Planner fans that listen, and mm-hmm. they're like, they probably already follow you, to be honest. But if not, they're going to want to know, or if they can't remember off the top of their head, because they want to know, well, which one? You know what I mean? Or just pick your current fave. What's the discs? What was the cover? No. Did you take the cover off? Did you change the insides? That kind of stuff.
Yes. No, I'm such a basic girl. I like vertical, very blank, no color, just because I like to do my own thing in it. Vertical, classic. I'm currently using their Wild Style planner, which because it's one of their only blank ones. It has no color in it, but I'm not a big fan of all the cheetah print. It's not really my style. So I've merged two planners into one. I bought their Modern Farmhouse planner, which is a dashboard layout. And I removed all of the dividers and switched them out. And I removed the covers and switched those out. But I also just purchased some covers from Jane's Agenda, so I have one of those on right now.
Oh, Jane's Agenda. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Oh, I just discovered her, and she's great. Her stuff is great.
Yeah, she's been around a long time. I just get these, because I interview people, for the last couple years, and so then they'll throw something out, and then I'm kind of like, oh, where? Because we all have our own networks and our own shopping patterns or things we've been exposed to, so... It's kind of fun to hear names cycle through again. So, all right. Well, Amanda, tell me about what is your light planner, action planner? What's your layout and what color is your coil? Do you have a custom cover? Does she do that?
I believe it's called the Brittany, because she released a series of where she had different, I guess, influencers create what they like Christiane Designs had her own type. So the one that I got is a vertical hourly, but then it also has another vertical, just this week full page, and you can pick the size. I picked the classic Happy Planner size because I really do like that size. I mostly use it for memory planning. And I like having that room. But I think there were four or five different designs that you could pick from the influencer collection. It has a black coil, and I think the only thing you can customize on the cover, I could be wrong, but I believe it's just getting your name on it.
Mm-hmm. How's the cover? Is it pretty sturdy, laminated?
It's very neutral. It's basically the cover is just like an Erin Condren cover, a Happy Planner cover.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you use that one mostly for memory planning. So do you have a different one for day to day or no?
I have, print impression weeks.
Okay, and because there goes the Hobonichi train. So
I know. Well, the Hobonichi was dated, and I found that especially with quarantine, I just really wasn't using my planner as much. So I felt like the pressure of, I got to try to go and back plan and do this, whereas the PP weeks is not dated. So if I don't use it for a few weeks, I don't have all that blank space. Same thing with the Lights Planner Action.
Yeah. So then do you pick certain weeks to memory plan in the Lights Planner Action one, or are they pretty every week there's something there?
I try to do every week.
Okay. Well, let's get into where you plan, because now we can picture what you're working with, kind of your affinity towards which product. Alicia, where do you plan and what do you enjoy or not enjoy about those spaces?
I plan in my room. Usually, I think that's the only place I plan. Usually, sometimes on my desk, sometimes on my bed. I don't have a large space I'm dealing with, but I like the feel. Like I have, you know, the living room I could use or the kitchen. I know some people plan on the table in the dining room, but I like being in my own space. I light a candle and start planning. And I usually knock it out pretty quickly just because lately my planning has been less decorative, more, you know, get it done type of situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my room is usually where I plan. I have a desk next to the window, so I have good lighting, and I just plan there. I plan in bed, but I tend to lose things in bed. You know, I'll lose my pen and it will drive me crazy, and I eventually get up and go to my desk. But just because, you know, when you're sprawled out on the bed, as I don't know if you guys, when you plan, I have stuff everywhere. And it's like everywhere, and it takes so much space. Mm-hmm. I've tried to lately kind of stick to one sticker sheet, one sticker book, that like have an idea in my head before I sit down instead of flipping through all these things. But for that reason, I tend to stay to my desk so I can have piles and piles instead of spread out everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dining room table right now, which seats six comfortably, eight if you want. Like, that is a pretty decent sized table. I have a, you know, I'm a six person family. It is full. And it doesn't disgust me, like, looking at all this. It's just kind of like, I like sitting in options, I think is the deal. Because I've often found it's two hobbies for me. One is this sort of stickering. Like, I have a stickering hobby, and I also have a planning hobby. I don't need to give them labels. They're not exclusive to each other. Sometimes they happen at the same time or for the same purposes. Like, oh, like my cousin's moving to England. Like, okay, so I'm pulling out an airplane sticker. So I'm stickering at the same time as like noting when she's moving, you know, that kind of thing. But I give myself permission to just sprawl out all over the table. Be like, I just want to be in my supplies right now. I just want to feel all the feels, flip all the flips, reflip all the flips I just flipped, thinking there's going to be something there that isn't, or I clearly missed it. I knew there was a bicycle in here somewhere. You know, like, where's that bicycle? You know, that kind of thing. And I enjoy that process. I've just given myself freedom to accept that as part of the deal. So I definitely feel you also about losing things. It's like, I'm always just getting up. And I like the table because of just, it helps me just be more straight. I have a hard time being straight on anyways, even at a table. So, but anyways, I digress. Amanda, tell us where you plan and what you enjoy about that space or don't enjoy about that space.
So I actually have my own little craft room / office. So my desk is pretty large, sits in front of the window, and I always come in and I light my wax warmer. That's another thing I've like took a deep dive into, is buying lots and lots of wax melts. So I just love to come in here and turn that on and just take my time. Pretty much I do a lot of back planning. That's pretty much what I do.
Do you incorporate photos into it?
Very rarely.
Okay.
Mostly just stickers.
I've been toying with that idea myself. It's been a thing for a long time, like a zip printer or Insta, whatever.
I do that.
You do that, Alicia?
I do, yeah. I add photos into my planner.
So,
just because memory planning is too much for me to realistically hold on to. I never continue or finish. I always die out about 3 weeks after I start. So I've started just adding photos to my planner, and it's made it easier for me to quasi memory plan while I'm actually planning.
Okay. So like happenstance, there's a spot there and I happen to have a picture that day, it goes in kind of thing? Or do you specifically kind of leave a spot, or how do you know?
I memory plan on the monthly view of my planner. So I will go through at the end of the month and look through my phone because it's all dated. And I will pull all of the photos from that month and print them out on my little zip plan printer. And I just put them in those boxes. And if there's spaces, then there's spaces. And I kind of look at, you know, after I put them all down, and then I decorate around it. If it's like summer, I'll decorate summer. And those empty spots, I'll fill them with stickers or other things. Mm-hmm. But so I write the plans in on the month, and then I replace them with stickers usually of pictures.
Oh, so there is actually, so it's not blank on month and then you go back. It's like you cover up your writing or whatever.
Right. So okay. If like I, for instance, I had a graduation party for a friend yesterday. So I've written in pencil on that day graduation party. And so when I go at the end of the month to print out all my stickers, I will print a picture from the party and just put that square the picture over the writing.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So it's fun to look back at because I can go through the week and see what I had going on that day. But then when you look at the monthly view, you get a full month view of all the, I mean, it can be nothing. Like, we saw a turtle on the ground a couple weeks ago, and we took a picture of it. And so there was nothing else going on. Of course, there's nothing else going on most days now. But that picture of the turtle will be on that day. And it's such a silly memory because it doesn't really mean anything. But we named him, and we made up a story of where he came from, just being silly. And so that memory will be in my planner when I flip back years from now. So it's kind of cool like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's a nice joint effort, really, of, you know, instead of taking on a whole new project and a whole new binder. So, Amanda, what drew you to memory planning or back planning in the first place?
I have so many stickers. And I was trying to find a way to use them because I like keeping, like, the PP Weeks or the Hobonichi in my purse because, obviously, I don't want to carry around like a Happy Planner or Erin Condren size planner around in my purse every day. But I really like getting the bigger kits that from shops, and you can't use those in a whole bunch of your PP weeks. So I just like using all the stickers. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then I've often found, because then you know exactly what happened that day, so you can just lay down what had already happened. Do you write it? So are you referencing in your PP weeks what happened, or do you just have an excellent memory? Because I thought I would do this too. And that's why I'm asking so inquisitively, because I was like, no, seriously, like, how do you guys do this? Because I'm like, I'm looking blankly, like, I have no idea what I did on the 3rd of August. Oh my gosh, I did nothing. I just sat and took up space. I don't know what I did.
Yes, I usually do reference my my PP weeks, or sometimes I even just kind of keep a list of like what I did this day or you know, important things I want to remember.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I've been surviving almost this entire quarantine, or for sure this preparation for season 3 of the podcast on Post-it notes. So like,
love Post-it notes.
There's such a satisfaction of crinkling it up when you're done and just tossing it somewhere. I feel like how I thought grown-ups would be when I was younger. Like, that means you're getting some stuff done or something. Like, or you know, those I'm like a dry cleaner, and back in the day they used to have like a needle or like a I don't know. They would take an order and then they would slam the paper down. It would go through and make a little hole. What are those called?
Yes.
A paper sorter, stack, receipt stacker. And it was sharp on the top, and it would just like stack them all together, and there'd be a little hole in the middle.
Right.
I don't know what that thing is called, but whatever that thing is called, when I was young, I was like, those people are productive. Just the satisfaction of pulling that paper and slamming it down. Like, that's done and it's pierced now. I've put a javelin through it. It is no longer required to do. So let's get back. Amanda, is there anything else you want to talk about for your planning space? You both mentioned fragrance, which is interesting. You set the mood.
Yeah.
You've thought ahead to, or a candle or a melt. Amanda, is there a favorite fragrance that you like in the fall?
I like all the baking scents all year round.
Is that what you have on right now?
I have on, it's called Squishy Bear, and it's almost like a gummy kind of sweet scent.
Oh, that is funky. That sounds good, but maybe disgusting. Like, I don't know if I'm on board with this. I wish we had smell a podcast, like Smell-O-Vision.
Oh, it smells really good.
This smells like a burnt, I'm imagining a burnt gummy bear, which can't be true.
No, like, not at all like that. But I did just get in a large order from Simo or Simo. I'm never sure how to pronounce it. She just did a fall release, and that's what I'm going to be burning next.
I love those fall smells, which I know we're recording in August. So it was maybe a little lackluster, which maybe understands why we're burning gummy bears.
I have pumpkin spice going right now. So
you do? Alicia, oh, you're like zero cares given. Bring the fall. It is August, you all who are listening to this in the fall, actually. Yeah.
I know. It's hot outside. I'm so done with summer and this just sticky mosquitoes. Ugh. Houston is the worst. Humidity is the worst. I know, Amanda, you're in Florida. You're with
them.
Same page as me. I'm so ready for fall and winter, even though we don't get much of it, but
Yeah, we don't get fall or winter.
Right. I just want 80 degree weather. That's what I want. This 100 degree stuff is not working for me.
Oh, yeah. So do you manufacture the seasons in your planner? Like, is that your jam? Is that how you conceptualize fall? Does that make its way in? You too, Amanda?
Yes.
Okay.
I have all of my fall kits lined up, ready to go.
All right, so they have tall boots, they have the scarves, you're having crunched leaves, like all that showing up in your planner, right?
Yes, I have some kits with all of that. I don't ever experience that in real life, but my planner does.
Oh, I will take pictures and send them, because in Minnesota, we have to take care of all the dead things. That's what fall is up here. Things that die constantly. And then we're like, oh, look, it's dying. It's so beautiful. Such a weird thing. Let's walk on the dead things and run around with like small children and take photographs of our family. These dead plants. I know there's people in the Midwest that they'll put in palm trees. We don't have palm trees up here. You know what I mean? Like, what about our supplies? So, Amanda, you said you had more of a room space. How do you store them, display them, and what do you do with the items that you no longer need or want?
Well, right before quarantine started, I had completely redone my office and got a lot of storage and display things from IKEA. And I actually have about 3 boxes of stuff that I de-stashed that I was going to take to our next planner meetup, but that didn't happen because of coronavirus. So I've been holding on to it because I don't just want to take it to Goodwill. I want it to go to other like planners, my planner friends, but I'm kind of getting tired of looking at it.
I hear you. Yeah, I mentioned my cousin who's moving to England, so she's a planner as well, and she de-stashed some, and I was like, I'll take it to the community, but like, I don't know when I'm going to see him again. I went through it. My daughters went through it, but then it's sort of like just sitting there like, But I agree. You know, however, planner people do go to thrift stores too, and they'll be like, oh,
this is
amazing. But yeah, what are the chances? I don't know. Especially if you have some like awesome old Filofaxes in there or something. I don't know.
I have like old Planner Society stuff, and I mean, full tubes of washi that I haven't used. Like, it's a lot.
3 boxes, Amanda. That's a lot of de-stash. What criteria did you give it to put in the box?
If I hadn't touched it and I didn't see myself using it, because for a while there, I don't know if either one of you fell into this, it was like every week had to hit the Target like dollar spot and get all the page flags and the post-it notes that don't stick. Like, I'm like, I'm never going to use this. Why am I still hanging on to it? I don't plan with it. Like, it just needs to go. It's taking up space. So I was trying to be as cutthroat as possible because I wanted everything to fit in my room.
Did you go to the dollar section and spend like $50 on planners? Yeah. I did all the time. It was horrible.
I know. My husband's like, I don't even want to know how much all of that stuff costs.
And then he would say, it was from the dollar section.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, now they don't even call it the dollar section, dollar spot. It's like, business playground. I'm like, that's another way of saying we cost more money now.
Yeah. For the most part, I look right past it now.
Yeah, there's a little bit of home decor stuff that I think is cute. When they have like little tiny cake plates, I'm like, oh, I could put a candle on this. And I'm zappy for it. I might pick one up here and there. But
do they even do the like post-it notes or sticky notes anymore?
They have stationary type of items. Alicia, what do you think? Have you looked at it recently?
No, honestly, I haven't. I've been one of these people in quarantine that has not gone anywhere. So I don't know. I haven't been to Target probably since February. Wow, that's sad. No, I don't know. I mean, last time I went, I think I picked up some winter inspired something stationary, but I don't know that I know it's more like Jess said, it's more home decor stuff now. I think they had a lot of birthday stuff also when I went.
Yeah, they definitely play on what is popular at the time. Like as of recording this in mid-August, there's a lot of teacher stuff out right now. We're like, how to set up a classroom. And I know even some parents who are now thrown into overseeing their distance learning for their children, they're even getting into that a little themselves and having little nooks or trifold boards from the, you know, like you would use in a science fair and doing little cubbies to have like the calendar and word of the day up for their kids. And it's an easy way to access some of that, you know, if you're not a teacher and have a membership to the teacher supply store or order online or whatever. So, I did see some elevation of that though, too. It has been fun. We all kind of hit this planner community around the same time. And isn't it kind of neat to see how some of these bigger stores finally get to the point where we were like 6 months ago or something? Like, I don't know if it's because they look at creators for inspiration or how that all works out marketing wise, or like if they're already in the process but then it just takes so long to produce, manufacture and distribute, then we don't see it in the big box stores until later, which I'm sure it's all of the above. But I've found some sort of like secret pleasure in being like, oh, look, like they're doing even back way back, look, they're doing little chalkboards. Oh, we've been doing chalkboards for a while. Like or I don't even know, like, oh, rose gold. Okay, they found rose gold. I see that now. All right. Okay, yeah. They're doing paper clips. That's so funny. Like, you know, I think especially like Target or something got away from maybe just the cheaper-ish kind of office-y supply and tried to keep up a little bit and have some skin in the game. Certainly, obviously, Michael's and just some of those craft supply stores, you're like, whoa, I remember being in PGW on Facebook way before there was like llama anything in a big box store or them promoting it, you know. So it's been an interesting dynamic, I will say, to see it all go.
Yeah, I think that Michael's definitely saw, oh, wow, these women are people are spending a lot of money on this planner stuff. Maybe we should look into that.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of secretly want to ask someone shopping there when they do come across the stuff that don't use it or like haven't, you know, they're not in the IG, they're not watching YouTube on days on end, they're not, you know, they're not in the planner community essentially. What they're like, I wonder what they think. That's what I want to know. I should pull my friends in my real life and be like, so what do you really think of all this when you see this happening? Like, are you going to buy a pillow with sequin llama on it? Because I know that says go wild. Like, do people just be like, oh, that's cute, and then just get it? Or if it's just for us, you know what I mean? These are things that no one needs to know, but cross my mind. Very doesn't matter to anyone ever, but things I think of when I'm trying to fall asleep. Okay, how about you, Alicia? How are your things stored? You mentioned you have a room desk in your room. Maybe you bring it out to the dining room occasionally. So do you have a tote, a cart? What do you do with the items that you store or that you no longer want and need to get rid of?
Yeah, I have multiple carts. So I have accumulated a lot of stuff over the years, and especially while I was on the squad, because I was given a lot of things by the Happy Planner. And a lot of those things I didn't use. So I've donated a lot of that. And since I started my my own shop, I tend to use a lot of my stuff now. With, you know, other stuff included, obviously, but.
Well, congrats, though. That's cool.
Yeah, that is exciting. But I don't use as much as I used to, I guess is my point. So I have gotten rid of a lot of things. I have one of the cube storage things in my room from IKEA also. And a couple of carts that I keep stuff in, but I've actually downgraded a lot over the last year, which was exciting. My mom has recently become a planner, and so she was willing to take a lot of that off my hands. But most of it I have under bed storage also for my books, because my planner stuff invaded my book space. Because I have a small space, I've tried to be creative with my organization, but I have a lot of hidden organization in the closet and things like that. So
I feel like IKEA should just sponsor the planner community. Like,
for sure.
The planner community brought to you by the Klax system and the Razcog cart and the Alex drawers and the tabletops that go on them.
That's literally everything I have in my room.
Yeah. I think there's overlap in the beauty community, and because they like will use those Alex drawers for all their brushes and whatever, and palettes. And then I'm sure somewhere else, I'm a homeschooler, so I've seen some of that pop up in homeschool too, because they're trying to set up basically anyone who needs an office. Okay, this is not as profound as I thought it would be. People who like books. Okay, whatever. Yes, it's definitely.
So, IKEA's great.
Yeah. Alicia, what is your criteria for downsizing or?
Yes. Sort of the same as Amanda. If I haven't really used it recently, I had a lot of books I hadn't even touched, thicker books. Happy Planner makes so many. And I have this nonsensical feeling that I have to have all of them. I don't know where that comes from or why I feel that way.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you guys are the same. But once they release something, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need it, even though I don't. I had a lot, but there's a lot that as my style also has evolved and I've become less decorative, more function. I felt was too much. Some of the sticker books that were pure, I don't know, just like. A pet sticker book. I have a cat and he does nothing, right? he's not exciting at all. He's just a cat. He sleeps all day. So I don't need a whole sticker book dedicated to all these pets that I don't have. Food, I don't really need it. You know, those sort of things I kind of were obvious that I was going to give away. But also I had like 10 different floral sticker books and just things like that. I had a lot of repetitive types of stickers that I just was done with. So it felt really good to get rid of it. But then once I did, I was like, oh gosh, now I need more. I don't know where that comes from.
Have you ever gone back into a box that you had planned on de-stashing and then like shopped your own de-stash?
Yes, like, absolutely.
I don't know.
I hadn't even given the box away, and then I needed to put an insert in my planner, and the insert that I needed to put it, I needed it on a certain paper because it just made sense, and the border had to be a certain color, like, you know, it just made sense in my head, and I didn't have that anymore because that pack of paper was given away, but it wasn't really given away, it was by the door. So I was like, well, I can just go get it. So I went and pulled it, and I still have it now. But I did that with a few things, and I was like, okay, somebody needs to come pick this box up because I'm just going to keep dipping into it. And there's no point in me giving it away. I'm just going to keep taking it back. But
Yeah, we all need to have some sort of like park de-stash where one at a time we put our box, spray it with the Lysol, and then do like a drive-by, like.
Those little library, mini libraries in neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
We should
Yes.
totally make planner libraries like that.
Or geocaching. Do you remember that? Where there'd be like a secret, like, geo tag where you could find it. So it's like hidden.
No,
We have to
I don't
get
know what I'm.
outside. Geocache. Yeah. So there's like lines, you know, latitude and longitude. And so there'll be points, and you can go to a geocaching website. And there will either be something small, like just a little waterproof container with a big piece of paper in it, all rolled up with a little golf pencil, and you can just like sign in, like, "Oh, I found it! I was here." You can track them online. Some have prizes in them. Like if you're doing it as a family, I mean, I don't know about anymore because of all the handling back and forth. But when the kids were little, you'd bring old McDonald's toys with you, and then you'd donate. Like the rule is, take one, leave one. So you'd find treasures. Could be a quarter. Could be some awesome little figurine or some cheapy,
Wow.
top from the elementary school festival. Like, who knows? It was just kind of a fun reward to get there. And then you'd pack it all back up and tuck it in, usually in nature areas, but not always. There was one
That's
like behind
really
a road
cool.
sign in a park, and it's just kind of a fun way. They're probably around you and you just didn't know it. So, yeah.
That sounds
That
like
sounds
that
like fun.
Pokemon Go.
Yes, but real. Like, there's no phones involved. I mean, I guess to find your way, but yeah. Yeah, so maybe for
Wow,
plant, we could
that's
have planner caches where they're just there. Take something, leave something.
really cool. I like that.
Okay, well, let's look further into the actual planner itself. Now that we've talked about a lot of the accessories and the location and your criteria, but the actual function of your planner, I know you've mentioned like your layout, so that's getting closer to this idea of what factors do you consider when shopping for a planner that you have found best serves you? That might be what you're currently in because all the other ones went before you and are now gone, so you must be loving the one you're in, perhaps. What do you need it to do for you? Like, is there a special space that you need for reflection? Is there a task list that you need? Is there something that really speaks to you personally that you're looking for a planner to help you accomplish?
I personally like the vertical layout, and I really like neutral, which I think Alicia does as well. The plainer, the better. That way I can do with it whatever I like. I don't like when planners have lots of color or prints all over that make it hard to cover up. I just like to have my own space to make it what I want.
I like the neutral, also just like Amanda said, to do, whatever I want with it in regards to color and decor. I also like the vertical. I tend to flip-flop between horizontal and vertical a lot.
Can you tell us what you use your boxes for? The three, I'm assuming there's three boxes, right?
Yes. I used to do, of course, in the Erin Condren when I started, it was morning, noon, and evening. And then at one point, I would use it for me, my son, like personal, my son, and then work. But now I don't really follow any rhyme or reason. I mean, I tend to do like nighttime things in the bottom box. So I guess in a sense I still use morning, noon, and night, but I tend to put like birthdays in the top, like more important things up top, bills in the top, and then I just kind of go from there. Sometimes when I decorate before I plan, if I put a sticker, in the top box and I have a morning meeting that pops up, I will just write it in the middle box, so it doesn't. I guess it helps to remove the labels on the boxes for me mentally, just because Otherwise, that would drive me crazy. If I had a morning meeting, there was already a sticker there. I tend to overthink, you know, when I have these labels on the boxes. So I had to mentally remove that and just kind of wing it. I've never been a wing it type of person, but it works better for me right now, not labeling those boxes.
Let's go dig into you as the Loyalists. That is the catchphrase nickname for the sixes of the Enneagram. Amanda, start us off. How does the desire to have guidance, security, and support reveal itself?
My mom is the one that got me into planning. So almost every weekend, usually on Sunday, whenever we both wake up, I immediately, you know, turn on or call her on FaceTime, and I spend the morning planning with her. I just like having that connection with her.
Is she local or are you apart?
We're apart. She lives in Orlando and I am in an area, a city called Parrish, but nobody's ever heard of it, but it's near the Sarasota-Bradenton area.
Okay.
So we're about 2 hours away from each other.
Somebody's yelling at their radio right now in their car or their earbuds while they're running, because that's what people do when they listen. They'll be like, ah, I know that place. I know it. I can just picture right now. There's got to be one. If that's you, let me know. Yeah.
If anybody knows where Parrish is, I will be very surprised.
You'll get a call out on the next episode. Let me know. Okay, so for you, it's a family connection. What does your mom bring to you that signifies guidance, security, or support?
Well, my mom she's my safe person. A little background, I'll try not to get too emotional, but I was abused by my stepmother when I was younger, and my mom was always the one that I could count on. Like she did everything she could to get me out of that situation. And I always say that because of my mom, I'm not a statistic.
Oh, amen. That's beautiful. Thank you, Amanda's mom. Thank you. She is here today sharing her story, sharing her voice, sharing her creativity with the world because you cared and you reached out and you did the right thing. Thank you, Amanda's mom. And thank you, Amanda. That didn't take just her. That took you too. Those were a lot of decisions that you probably still make daily to think of how you view yourself, how you contribute to those in your family now. So I wouldn't be quick to dismiss your efforts as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that is a very, very clear way how those things then relate and support through those actions. And I'm so grateful for technology, even just setting up this interview today. We get to speak with one another and you get to see your mom. How cool is that? All right, well, let's give her some airtime. So tell, what planner is she in? Because she'll probably listen, right?
She is in an A5 right now. She's using, I think, Jessenia's printables.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But same kind of like vertical. I think it's like a week on 4 pages. But yeah, A5.
Sweet. All right. Thanks, Amanda Mom.
Julie.
Oh, Julie. All right. Thanks, Julie. Yeah. That's a hard story to follow, I realize, Alicia. And like I said, these are open to interpretation for each guest to take as they will, as deep or as shareable, however they want to take it. So, Alicia, how does the desire to have guidance, security, and support reveal itself in your planning actions?
I just need stability. I just need constant, you know, like I said before, I need to write it down for it to happen, period. I forget it if I don't write it down. I'm late if it's not in my planner. So that guidance and support is everything to me. When it comes to the to-do lists and making sure, you know, every call that I need to make is in my planner. I definitely rely on my planner for a lot.
What do you think life would be like without your planner?
just a little bit more chaotic. I think I'd probably be late a lot. I would probably miss a couple meetings. I open it probably 20 times a day, because I really look to it, and I carry my big happy planner with me everywhere because I need the space. I can't write in anything smaller. It just works best for me that way. So, yeah,
And do
I
you carry
definitely
it at work? 'Cause do
do.
you okay.
I do carry it to work with me.
And are you thinking ahead to what happens after work, or are you writing work tasks in there as well? 'Cause once you said one of the boxes was for work, but maybe not so much anymore, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so my work, like if I have a communication call or just different things like that, I'll put them in my planner. But if I need more specific to-do list, I will just pop one of the half sheets in my planner and make a list there and have a grocery list on the back and things like that. So I even though it's not written in my three boxes, if it's more if it needs more detail, I'll just pop it in there and it's good to go.
Will you leave it there, or will you treat it more of a disposable kind of source?
I think it depends on the context on the list, like a grocery list I'll throw away. If it's something that I may need to come back to reference later, I'll leave it. Shopping list right now with back to school, kind of. That is in there. Most of my shopping's being done online, but I have a checklist that I've moved from week to week. So it just depends on the context of the list.
Let's transition you into some of the fear side of this. And this is such a different type of episode than I'm used to, this whole series, to really look at these core values. I know I ask deep questions on the regular, but these are extraordinarily deep. So I appreciate you guys showing up and doing your best effort to share these things. I do appreciate it. How does the fear of being blamed, alone, or fear itself drive you?
The fear alone for me is a big thing. I'm a six to the core. Anything you ever read in regards to the way a six works, that's me. So I definitely overthink. I definitely need to feel that support. All of that. I need that safety. So fear itself drives me in those lists that I make, in everything I'm checking off, because I just am fearful that if I don't do it, it won't be done. It won't feel complete.
What are you like at the end of the day? Let's say if you're looking at a to-do list that doesn't have things crossed off.
I usually feel a little bit of anxiety in regards to, first of all, was how important is this that it wasn't done? Am I going to have time for it tomorrow? Is there room on my list tomorrow? Right now with my shop, kind of where it's at, I'm really busy, and I have been devoting a lot of time to it late. I've become so involved in this horrible sleeping habits because of I'm not sleeping, going to bed till 3 in the morning, waking up super early, and a lot of it is because I still have things on my list that aren't checked off. And it's just fear that if I don't do it, if I don't get that crossed off, it's not going to be done. It's going to overwhelm me tomorrow, and then the dates are going to be pushed back, and I'm going to be late on a shipping time, or just things like that. I definitely overthink those things, and I don't typically allow myself to not complete a list.
Okay. So part it sounds if I'm hearing you correctly, it's a little bit maybe that you're also considering those it affects
Yes,
versus your
totally.
own well-being. You would rather, I guess, sacrifice your own well-being to make sure that the people that you've said that you have an expectation to complete
Right.
something for them, that it's complete.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I feel like sometimes I tend to take on too much, especially at work, and not ask for help just because I want to make everybody happy and to be accepted.
And you're, and through your lens, you're, it sounds like you're saying that you completing those things will achieve those goals. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so.
So what would happen, Amanda, or what actions would you set in place in your heart and mind and gut if you were unable to do that checklist? Like, what happens to you at the end of the day if there are things that you're unable to do for someone or for yourself?
Same thing as Alicia. I try to prioritize, like, okay, for what I have tomorrow, and what I'm adding from the previous day, like, what is the most important thing? And usually try to get that done early in the morning, because that's when I feel like I'm most productive. Because towards the end of the day, I'm beat.
Do you ever have any sleep interruptions? Like, will you think and overthink during that time process to either fall asleep, or do you ever wake up thinking about those things?
All the time. Mm-hmm. All the time.
It's like this go down with the ship mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, I have made this commitment. I have to complete it. I cannot, you know, move forward. I can't take that risk. I can't. It's almost a feeling of, if I don't complete this, I'm not being responsible, or I don't know. But yeah, definitely, like, going down with the ship. It has to be done. That's where I'm at.
Do either of you often come, I guess this is maybe more a question for those around you in your life, but can either of you recognize a time where you have been asking a lot of affirmations from other people? Like, are we good? Are you good? Are you happy with this result? What do you think of this? What do you think of me? Does that ever cross your path?
So my love language is actually words of affirmation. So I completely, that is me, everything you just described. I do that a lot with my husband. I always need that reassurance. Like, are you good? Are we good? You know, I need you to tell me you love me always.
Right. I'm the same way. Yes. I need to know that, you know, I need people to know that they can trust me. I need people to know that when I take on a task, it's going to be done. It's going to be done, you know, quickly and efficiently and on time. And if that's not, I need them to voice that to me also. You know what I mean? I need them to let me know that they know I got this, you know?
And Amanda, it sounds like maybe you've been able to articulate to those people in your life, like, or perhaps, I hope you have, like, I would like you to say these things. Isn't that hard, though, to have to say, like, tell me you love me, I love you, but I told you to say that, I don't think you mean it. It's like, I cannot win with you. What am I supposed to do? You just told me to say it.
No, I think my husband definitely knows, like, he always says I worry about any and everything, but he tries to keep me reassured, because he's the exact opposite of me as far as worrying goes.
Okay, so can you think of a time where your worrying has been harmful or maybe helpful? Just be like, see, these are why I overthink these worst case scenarios. This came in helpful.
I always think of worst case scenarios. I think where it hurts me is I don't do things. It holds me back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you are like that, Alicia, but I'm always, I get really nervous, and I can't think of something off the top of my head right now, but I'm not a spontaneous person at all.
Yeah, me either. I have a short story about that. I when I joined the squad, or when I made the Happy Planner squad, one of the stipulations was we were going to get to fly to California to their headquarters. And I have a fear of flying, a real deathly fear of flying. And so I made it, and I was surprised and I was happy. But the first thing I said to my best friend was, okay, but I'm not going to the boot camp. because I just can't go. I'll have to lie. I'll have to say it's a bad weekend. And she was like, okay, we'll work on that. And it took me a lot. It took me a lot to get there, to get on that plane. And then I had the worst experience ever on the plane. But yeah, overthinking, it definitely almost made me miss out on that opportunity. Just assuming the worst, thinking the worst the whole time. I cried the whole way there. I was, it was terrifying, but I overcame that for the first time, and that was a really good feeling. But it definitely took a lot of conversation and you know, different things to get me there. But overthinking is always something, and sometimes I don't mind it, if that sounds crazy, but sometimes I don't mind because I think to myself, and this is so irrational, I'm so sorry, listeners, I'm so sorry, but sometimes I think, well, if I didn't overthink worst case scenario, I wouldn't be prepared. And all of these people who aren't overthinking aren't prepared for the worst, you know, but I right. am. And I almost think like that's a good thing, but I know that's irrational.
Like I was saying earlier, has there been a time where it actually kind of worked out where you're like, well, good thing I have these life jackets because your boat's sinking.
Yeah, we Houston here, we have this big rodeo, and I have what my friends lovingly refer to as a Barney bag for purse. So everything is in there. And I've provided people with socks and hair ties, and I have a full med kit in it. And
in case you get scored by a bull, right? Or is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Gored? Scored? I don't know. Yeah.
Gored. Yeah, but it helped me. It's helped other people too.
One thing from that original story about the airline flight, Alicia, mm-hmm. is when you mentioned your friend, and one thing that you opened up about that, to kind of admit what was going on with you. And her response seems to me what a good friend of a six would do. She didn't try to talk you maybe out of, oh, that's nonsense. That'll never happen. That's, you're being ridiculous. You're being overdramatic. You're such a worrywart. She said, well, we'll work on that, you know, we'll and work. Kind of admit, you know, kind of walk with you mm-hmm. through that. I mean, how you react to these numbers really makes a difference and really can show them love in these dire moments. And
for sure. Help them, and it helps build that trust that we so desperately, well, that I know I so desperately need. I need a friend that I can trust to not dismiss my feelings, no matter how irrational they may be. Mm-hmm. If I need, you know, if I need her to say, well, we got this, like, we'll figure that out, and not dismiss mm-hmm. it in the moment when I'm so vulnerable and brand new to the idea, then it just makes all the difference in the end reaction, you know?
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
What do you like to hear, Amanda, during your moments of overthinker mode or perhaps giving into your inner turmoil or anxieties?
I just like somebody to hear me and just let me say what I need to say. Because I know sometimes my husband's like, okay, you're being a little bit ridiculous right now. But having that friend that can just let me get it out and then kind of slowly talk me off that ledge, but still letting me know that, like, I have valid concerns and, you know, it's okay to feel the way that I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it is, I think, a very eye-opening experience to learn about some of these numbers. Enneagram's just a tool. It's not some sort of magic eight ball or anything like that, but to understand what each person kind of needs. Or perhaps, I mean, if you knew your husband's number, maybe you do, like, oh, he's really task-oriented. Maybe he's a three and he really just wants to fix this. He wants to show, or a one, like, this isn't right. How do I make it right? The right thing to do is to make her feel better. So how can I make her feel better? How can I make this feeling stop? You know, and so you start to see all these complexities and how, oh, this all starts arguments of all kinds of forms, from little injustices to huge, you know, crisis moments when we really are just speaking another number, basically. Mm-hmm. How was it when you found out you were both sixes? Did you know it was you right away? Or was there like another one you were kind of toying back and forth with? How did you find out about it?
So when I took the quiz and it came up six, the loyalist, I was like, well, duh, I'm a Hufflepuff. Like, yeah. That just makes the most sense. And then when I read about it, it was kind of the same reaction of Alicia. I was like, wow, this seems really negative. But then I was like, everything I see, I'm like, yep, that's me. That's me.
Yeah, it was the same way. I read a lot of sick stuff and the same thing. I was like, wow, this is harsh. And I was like, wait, but this is how I feel. This is what I think. And it definitely opens your eyes. It makes you face yourself a little bit. That's why I now can call my fears irrational, but they're still there. Right. They're not going away. But it was interesting. I so desperately wanted to be a seven just because I know I'm not a seven. I know I'm not adventurous or anything close to that, but I just think that must be a cool life to live, you know?
Yeah, the life of the party, yeah. Right? I'm tracking with you because I was like, I'm either, I thought I was a four or a seven for sure, which now that I see, when you read the core motivators, you're like, oh, okay, guess I'm not a seven. But I'm a four. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, hence all the deep questions and let's sit in our feelings for like 55 minutes in a row without stopping. It's lovely. I love it. I love my job. But I thought I had was seven because I'm an extrovert and I love to hop around and talk to everyone and I have attention deficit disorder, so I'm a little like impulsive, like, yes, let's go mini golfing. Yes, let's go to a concert. Like, I can really act like that. So I sort of thought, I was like, I'm either a seven with depression or a four with ADHD. Because both of those I have diagnosis for. So I'm like, this is so hard. I don't know. But yeah, once you really start realizing, like, how quickly a seven will want to bounce out of those deep feelings and how I've made, like, the last 2+ years, like, my passion for talking about people's real lives and their deep questions. I'm like, okay, evidence shows I'm not the life of the party. I'm the Eeyore, or maybe not the Eeyore, but just kind of like I can sit in those feelings without making them go away. Like, oh, I'm sure it's no big deal. Like, I'm like, tell me more, you know, that kind of thing. So anyways, I'll probably cut that part out, but it's nice to tell you guys. I don't want it to make it too much about me because, I mean, they'd be like, we're here for the six. We're here for the six. Well, let's put that positive spin on that you two were kind of maybe lacking in your understanding when you first discovered that you aligned up with the Enneagram 6. And talk about some of your positive traits that are typical. So let's think about, like, how do you think you possess these traits? Courageousness, loyalty, or effectiveness? And perhaps how can you even narrow it down further as to how you use those in the planner community?
I'm actually, I don't know if Alicia, if you are have a wing, but I'm a six with a five wing, and mm-hmm. that's like they call it the defender. And yeah. I am very passionate about the Black Lives Matter movement and social injustices. And I feel like I share almost more about that, especially recently on my planner Instagram, just because that's so important to me. And actually one of the reasons why I don't really use the Happy Planner anymore, like when everything happened, mm-hmm. you know, recently, it just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth and kind of turned me off from planning for a little bit. I just couldn't throw my support behind them right now. And until, like, I haven't bought, and I have a lot of Happy Planner sticker books, and I was buying a lot of Happy Planner products, but I just kind of was like, you know, I need to step back, and I want to kind of, because I fully believe that you can, you you can have your own opinions on how you feel, but I don't necessarily have to put my money behind you. And I want to put my money where I know somebody supports and believes in what I believe in.
So that would really call to the effectiveness. Like, how effective is my money going to be for right. your belief, especially with that Wing 5 and being a defender, and even just the courageousness to embolden your views online. I mean, it can be a very divisive place. It can be misunderstood. It can cause a lot of, I mean, both negative and positive experiences, but definitely is like it's the internet. Like,
right.
I don't need to even say anymore.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's leave with our final thoughts. I'm asking you these same three questions to every number. What do you want people to know about sixes that they may not know?
I want them to know that we're fun, too.
Gosh, darn it. We're the life of the party if we want to. Yeah.
We're the life of our own party in our own bedrooms. With our books and our candles and wax melts and planners.
I
really hate this just misconception of us being these like fearful, shaking in the corner creatures that, you know, are scared of life. But and sometimes we are, but sometimes we're not. And I want them to know we're fun too. We can have a good time.
I think that we just need to feel comfortable with who we're with to let that out.
Yeah.
What does it take for you to be comfortable?
Boy, that's a deep question.
I think for me, just knowing that I can trust you. And sometimes that takes a little while for me to have with you. But I feel like once you have it,
then you're loyal.
Yeah, I'm loyal. And like she said, we can be fun.
Okay. But more like be comfortable first, trust you first, and then I'll let my hair down. Then
right,
I don't have
exactly.
to worry about like how what's going to happen. Okay. All right. That kind of piggybacks into how can others best show love and kindness to a six?
I think kind words. I think kind words and like Amanda said, you know, making us feel comfortable and trusting and, you know.
Not flaking out of.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And the last question is, why does the planner community need sixes?
They need somebody like us because we're always going to be around. We're loyal. Like, my best friend has been my best friend since we were in preschool. And I'm very proud of that relationship.
Okay. So strengthening relationships, being loyal. Okay. Yeah, Alicia?
I think also to just plan ahead, to be the you guys go have fun and we'll figure it out and we'll bring band-aids and
yeah, you know. We're like the moms of the group.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So y'all, yeah, we'll be here. We'll always be here.
Well, thank you. I am so grateful that you are here on the show, but also in the planner community. I look forward to now seeing these photos and your accounts and your content and being like, I can see how that loyalty is coming out. I can see how that defender aspect is coming out. I can see how effective they are and how they overcame such great obstacles of insecurity and really be a big fan of y'all's. So thank you so much for coming. And it's great to get to know a six. So reach out to Alicia or Amanda. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Planner Lifestyle Podcast. I'm so happy to have you along for this series. If this is your first time joining us, feel free to hop back to the last 5 episodes. We have 3 more to go with the 7s, 8s, and 9s. So make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.